This past week, we spent a little bit of time going through the church and different things that paperwork and whatnot. And as we were doing that, Sandra and I, we came across the following vision statement, so that we could take a look at the vision statement now. And this is what it says: we want every person at Evergreen Church to know Jesus. We must have a relationship with him in order to follow him. And then number two, experience God's presence. God's presence marks us as different from any other people on the earth. And then number three, serve all people. Jesus came serving, not being served. And we share his legacy. So how many of you have heard those before? Okay, five of us. All right, so they were new to me and new to most of you. So I think it's important to see what the leaders of this church have considered are important things. Three different things. The first one, obviously, is knowing Jesus. We have to have that relationship with him. That's the important key. And then experiencing God's presence, that's also an important thing. That's something that they want you to experience, to have God's presence in your life and when we come together in our midst. And then the third one, again, serve all people. Jesus came serving, not being served. And that's a biggie for this church. I noticed that right when we first, well, when we looked at the webpage before we moved to the area, we had seen the servant heart that this body has. And so I think that's important. Last week we talked about who we are as individuals and who we are in Christ. We talked about who Sandra and I are. How long have we been married? Anybody remember? 34 years, okay. And where was I born? Florida, okay. Tampa, Florida. Okay, I grew up in Miami primarily, which is the team that will defeat the Green Bay Packers today, just so you know. What do you know, in the olden days, they threw the little gauntlet down, the challenge. So the challenge has been dropped. Hopefully my team comes through. Otherwise, I will have to eat my words next week. So I could do that. And then we also talked about God knowing who we are as individuals and our importance to him, because we are important to him. We sang a song at the end of the service. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I cry. We talked about the fact that he knows who we are. He has the very hairs of our head numbered. So where's Joel? Not the bandana Joel, no. Joel Ski. Huh. He's not here right now. But he doesn't have very much hair on top, so it's easy for God to count him. But for those like who have lots of hair, it's a little more difficult. But we talked about how important we are to him. We talked about God's desire to develop and grow a relationship with us. So without me knowing what the three different points of the vision statement were, we went over the first one, the importance of having that relationship with Jesus Christ. So today, what I want us to look at is the second statement that was up there. We want everyone at Evergreen Church to experience God's presence. So what does that mean? What does it mean to experience God's presence? Some people think it's the first picture. You know, there's God and he's just... And for some people it means fear. Remember Adam and Eve when they were in the garden after they had sinned. They were fearful that God's presence was going to come. They didn't want God to know that they had sinned. For others, it might be like that light that's shining in the room. It may be peace and comfort and maybe strength and love. So God's presence can be different things to different people depending on where we are in our relationship with Him. The presence of God can be described in three different ways, and that's what I want us to talk about today. The first one is the fact that God is omnipresent. Who could? Oh, it's easy to tell me what it means now. He's everywhere at all times. He's everywhere at all times. So 24/7, no matter if we're here or if we're in Thailand or if we're in Afghanistan, God's there, and He's ready to hear and answer our prayer. So he's omnipresent. Psalm 139:7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" There isn't any way. He goes on to talk, if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go here, you are there. If I go there, you are there. So it doesn't matter where we are, God's presence is there. So when I went to Afghanistan in 2013 and 14, God's presence was there. Sandra stayed in Oregon. God's presence didn't just come with me to Afghanistan. He stayed with her in Hermiston, Oregon. He was here in Stevens Point, Wisconsin at the same time. So God is omnipresent. He's with us no matter where we go. The second point I want us to see is that there's an indwelling presence. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He comes and He dwells within us. He comes inside. How does that work? I can't explain that part. You know, how the supernatural indwells the spiritually physical of who we are, but He does. He indwells within. He indwells within us. He lives within us. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?" So we're God's temple. That's why we're supposed to eat correctly and do all those things and take care of ourselves. And then it goes on to say, and that God's Spirit lives in you. God's Spirit lives in you. So we are indwelt by God's presence. So God's presence is with us no matter where we go, even to places we shouldn't go. God's presence, I don't think it stops outside the door. I think God's, because He dwells within us, He's going in, and usually that's when He starts talking to our hearts. And then the third point is the manifest presence of God. That's when God's presence is revealed to us. Sometimes God's presence is with us at all times, but there are times when God's presence is stronger and is revealed to us in a stronger way. Maybe that's a better way to look at it. And in Second Chronicles, I think I put First Chronicles up there, but it really is Second Chronicles, chapter 5. Solomon has built the temple. God had given David the design and showed him what he wanted him to do and how he wanted him to build it. Solomon was the one who built it. And after he's built it, he's dedicating it. And in chapter 5, verse 13, it says, they were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice, just like what we had up here earlier, one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. And they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. The temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. So God's presence was already in that temple. They were in there. God's presence was already there. But it was manifest. It was revealed to them in a different way. And so three different ways we can look at God's presence, and all of them are very important. and are important in our lives. And next slide talks about ask you a question and you have to answer. How is God's presence revealed in the Old Testament? Give me some ways that you can remember from stories. Okay, burning bush. Manna from heaven. Okay, you can put the picture up there. Okay. All right, let me rephrase my question, because you're answering my next question. You're doing an excellent job. So in the Old Testament, when we think of God revealing his presence, the picture, this is the tabernacle. Al took this picture because he was alive then. And so what do you see coming down? Light. What is it besides light? What is it? Okay, there's cloud, there's fire. Thank you. You get a bonus points there for fire. Bonus for the fire. And so fire. Fire was one way, because we talked about when the Israelites went out from Egypt, what led them where they were going? Fire and cloud. Yeah. So in the Old Testament, when it talks about the fire, that's God's presence revealed. The cloud, that's how he revealed himself. Sometimes he revealed himself through the wind. And so those are ways that God revealed himself. His presence was revealed. Then they have a thing called theophanies. Theophanies, that's a big spiritual word. That means God revealing himself in a physical form prior to Jesus coming. So when Abraham was visited by the men of God, the angel of the Lord, sometimes they call him the angel of the Lord, but those are times when God takes on physical flesh and reveals himself to somebody. But that's, if you want to learn more about theophanies, we can talk about that, or you can do a study, type it in, Google it. So, the next question, this is the one that you guys were giving me all the answers to. Examples of God's presence in the Old Testament. So we talked about Moses in the burning bush, manna from heaven. What else? Somebody said something else. Okay, dreams and visions, Jacob's ladder. Okay. Jacob wrestled with God. Okay, he revealed himself by tumbling the walls down. Okay. Rainbow in the sky, showing that he wasn't going to destroy the earth again by flood. Okay, they were able to go in the fiery furnace without being fried, French fried. Okay, feeding the multitude, because that wasn't naturally, that wasn't something that could take place, but God's presence did so. All right, so in the Hebrew language, David and the Ark of God, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the cities, there was dancing, rejoicing. We know about the guys who reached out to steady it at different times, and they were kind of zapped because of God's presence revealed there. So in the Hebrew language, the word that's translated as presence is a word called panin, and it implies, it means face. We all have one. And it implies a close and personal relationship, or personal encounter with the Lord. So when we talk about presence, we're talking about, you know, face. You know, when we use the term, he's in my face, he got in my face. That's what I think of. I think it's like he's really there. He's right there. His presence is that close, that personal encounter. In the New Testament, God reveals himself. If you go back to that picture, okay, that picture is it's not Joel in the swimming pool, but it is Jesus after his baptism. And what's above him? Dove. What does the dove represent? Okay, so in the New Testament, his presence was revealed through Jesus himself. He was there in the physical flesh. He was God, man, right there with us. When he left, who did he send? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came in his place. So God's presence was revealed through the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, what came? Tongues of fire. So the power of the Holy Spirit was there. 1 Corinthians 3:16, we already talked about. He does what? He lives inside us. He indwells. He lives in each one of us. And he doesn't just pick certain people. Once we develop that relationship and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, then bing, the Holy Spirit indwells within us and lives in us. So I think that's important to remember, that the fact that he lives in you and I. So give me some examples of God's presence in the New Testament. Okay, the veil in the temple, ripping from the top to the bottom instead of from the bottom to the top. The baptism of Jesus, we talked about the fact that Jesus was there, God, man, and the Holy Spirit above him. And then who was talking? God the Father was telling, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So just in that picture, we have the presence of God revealed as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what about Jesus' miracles? What are some miracles that he performed? Feeding the 5,000, yeah, we mentioned that. Water and the wine. Lazarus. So the presence of God was manifest in those type of things. In the book of Acts, the encounters with the Holy Spirit, the numerous times where God, you know, when the 120 were in the upper room, that would be a kind of a unique thing to have been a part of, you know. Tongues of fire and speaking in languages they did not know, but the people outside could hear them and they knew that they were speaking in their language. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 4 and 5, it talks about, gives us a picture of worship in heaven and how it takes place and all those creatures and whatnot. It gives us a picture of what the presence of God is like, being directly in his presence. There's a scripture that says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst." So whenever there's two or three of us, he indwells us. So we know his presence is already there. But when two or three are gathering together, so when you gather with your friends or your spouse or your family, and you come together for that specific purpose to talk to God, his presence is manifest and revealed in those occasions. So he's here today. We have more than three people here. So he's here in our midst. So I have some questions for you that you still have to answer. Where can we experience God's presence? Everywhere, anywhere. Okay, so doesn't matter where we are, in church or at home, work, school, pretty much anywhere. In the Old Testament, you had to be in the temple. That's where you experience God's presence. primarily, temple or the tabernacle. But now we have the opportunity to experience God's presence anywhere, anywhere that we are. Some people, when they drive in their car, can experience God's presence and can worship Him and glorify His name. So anywhere is where we can experience God's presence. When can we experience God's presence? Anytime, yeah. God doesn't have hours. Like, only from this time to this time will I answer you, will I talk to you, will I allow my presence to be revealed in your life. Anytime. He's always with us. However, there are times when His presence is with us in a greater way. So, I think that's good news. I mean, if there are people who are hurting and going through difficult times and don't have a relationship with the Lord, what a great thing that you could share with them. You know, I have a Savior who loves me and He cares about me and He lives within me. Yes, I go through hard times. Yes, I have tragedy and I have difficulties. But because of God's presence in my life, I can continue on. I can meet with Him anytime, anywhere, no matter where I am. So here's another question for you. What are some things we can do to encourage God's presence in our church and also in our own personal lives? So what are some things that we can do that helps bring God's presence? Okay, praying. So communicating with God, talking with Him. You know, when we pray, it's not just we spew everything out. We give Him all our requests, and that's it. But He wants to talk to us too. It's a two-way communication. So when we come into a time with God, we're talking to Him. He's talking to us. So we have to be open to that. What else? What? Steve, worship. Okay, so worshiping God, that's a way in which God's presence is manifest, because it says in Scripture that He dwells upon the praises of His people. So when we worship God, then His presence is revealed. I think that's what happened when Solomon's temple was dedicated. 120 trumpeters and all those different people singing all in one voice in worship to God. And bingo. Bingo is probably not a good term. I can't think of a term to use. It happened. God's presence was there and revealed right in their midst in a very powerful way, so that the priests couldn't do what they were supposed to be doing. The presence of God was so thick. So, yeah, worship is important. Somebody said something else that I missed. Okay, sit still. That's a hard one for a lot of people, especially for Pentecostals. They don't like that quiet business. They like noise, or we like noise. I guess I'm one of them. We like to have things happening. So sometimes it's hard for us to sit in God's presence and in silence and allow God to speak. But that's what He does. In silence and in reverence, God comes. Good works. Okay. Praise, yes. Okay, reading His word. Because this tells us a lot of stuff about who God is, right? I mean, it gives us a story, the story of pretty much from the beginning until how things are going to end. God reveals Himself through this. So His presence, I think that's important. Doing things for the Lord, I think that when we step out and do for the Lord, I think that His presence accompanies us and He manifests Himself there for us as well. Anything else before we go on? When we seek him, oh. So when we seek him, Scripture says that if we seek him, we will what? Find him if we seek him with all our heart. It also says, draw near to God and he will draw near to us. So seeking him, that's important. Yes. Very neat. So seeking him, I think that's important, and allowing God to speak to you and to minister to you. So one more question here. What are some things that discourage God's presence in our church and in our lives? Busyness, discord, us. Okay, sin. So sin, busyness, discord, arguing. Say it again. Bitterness. Did you say laziness, Joel? Yes, coming up all kinds of things. Okay, so if we don't do any of the first things, then that's going to have an effect. That's going to discourage God's presence. So if we're not reading the Bible, if we're not communicating with God, we're not spending quiet time with him, if we're not reading his word, we're not worshiping him, we're not seeking him, then his presence isn't going to be revealed. If we do those things, he is going to reveal himself. But if we don't do those things and then we do other things, sin, discord, arguing, bitterness, laziness, busyness, you could even be doing good things and still have it take away from your relationship with the Lord. I heard a guy on the radio the other day, I don't remember who it was, but he was talking about the fact that in society, in social media, if you go to Facebook and you see what everybody's doing, people have to be doing something all the time, so busyness takes away time, and time that you could be spending with God. So let's look at a story in God's Word that you probably have read before. But I think it's a good one. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42 says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman called Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So Martha was busy about the house, getting ready for, here's Jesus. He's coming to her house. She's doing good things. There was nothing wrong with what she was doing. She was making preparations for the fact that Jesus was coming into her home. She was taking care of him. She was working hard so that she would be able to bless Jesus. The problem that she encountered was that she was distracted by the many preparations, by all the stuff that she was doing to ready her home for Jesus being there. The one thing that Martha was missing was Jesus himself. Jesus was there in her home, and she was busy about preparing and doing all those things that needed to take place instead of doing what Mary did. My guess is that Mary didn't just sit down when Jesus got there. My guess is that Mary had been doing all those type of things with Martha as well, and was working to prepare the house for his arrival. But I think that when he came and his presence was there, that instead of continuing on with all the busyness, that she took a moment and she sat at Jesus' feet. And I think that's the picture that Jesus wants us to get. That yes, we need to work for him, but we also need to not be distracted by the things of life that take our focus off of who Jesus really is. This story provides us with a picture of three different kinds of Christians or people. And if we go to the next slide, we'll see who they are. First one is those that are like Mary, those who know how to serve and yet also sit at the feet of Jesus. We can work till we're blue in the face for the Lord. But sometimes that takes us away from God's presence. But the ability to do both, to serve God and serve people, but also sit at his feet. And then there are those who are like Martha, those who diligently and with their best intentions serve God, but they don't focus on Jesus. And when that happens, and all you're doing is working, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get burned out. You have to have both. You have to serve God, and you have to spend time in his presence, sitting at his feet. And then there's a third group that are neither, people who don't serve and people who don't sit at the feet of Jesus, people who are focused on themselves and ensuring that their lives are what is important and their needs that are met are what's important. They're too busy with their own pursuits. So, what do we need to do? I think we need to strive to be like Mary, serving the Lord, serving people, and also spending time in his presence. That's what we need to be. Let's create opportunities to spend time in God's presence through prayer. We could do that corporately. We could do it as a group. We could do it in our homes with people have come over. We could do it at school with InterVarsity, or we could do it in a Bible study in our home. We could do it at the home fellowship group at the Wagner's home. There are times that we can come together. You could do it at home by yourself, but let's create opportunities to spend time in God's presence through prayer. Let's create opportunities to spend time in God's presence through reading the Bible, through reading His Word, allowing it to speak to us. You really need to develop, each of us, we need to develop times where we kind of close out the rest of the day and we sit with Him and we talk to Him and we focus on Him. We talk to Him, we listen to Him, we read His Word and allow Him to speak to us. His presence is going to come to us through these opportunities. And then let's create opportunities to spend time in God's presence through worshiping God. And you can do that in multitude of ways. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come back, and we are going to do just that. But you can worship in your car. You can worship by just talking to God. We're going to talk about worship one of these days and what that entails. It's not just one thing. It's not just singing. But that's one avenue that we can worship Him. But let's take time to worship God and glorify His name and bless Him. And so this morning, I just want us to do that. To worship the Lord, to spend a little bit of time with Him before we leave this place and go off into the rest of our days, where you're going to be needing Kleenex to wipe your eyes because the Packers will have lost. So it's better to prepare your hearts now. Let's worship with them and let's talk to the Lord.